Blog Talk Radio.
Ken Will, joined here by Nick Richter and Joe Depto, along with Andy from the Pens Nation Radio Show. And we also have a couple of other guests around the league that we'll be bringing in here in just a second. The late news in the National Hockey League is that the NHL and the Players Association will be meeting tomorrow in an undisclosed location, though there's a lot of rumors that it's New York, but definitely New York.
Gotham City.
Lord knows.
Yes.
Meet will not be president, but federal mediator are reportedly being brought back in. We'll see what kind of deal comes from it. I think having the media be far away from the whole situation is just, it is nothing to make it less of a circus. Last week, I don't even know what happened anymore because everything seemed like it was going so well. Then it blew up within about 6 hours' time on that Wednesday afternoon to Thursday evening. So it just got real rough for hockey fans there. Now, generally we're speaking to a Pittsburgh audience, and we know how the lockout has affected us all here in our city. But there's a lot more at stake. You know, this is a national, global game, and an impact, you know, 30 different cities throughout North America. And we have a couple of guests that are going to talk a little bit about some of the markets. First of all, we have Mike Darr from Columbus, Ohio, who is not only a huge Blue Jackets fan, but he is the owner of the R Bar, which is a hockey bar in the Arena District surrounding Nationwide Arena. We also have with us Mark Torrance from the Forecheck from the Nashville Predators. Talk a little bit about that situation there. And back in town with the National Hockey League are the Winnipeg Jets. And as soon as they come back, you know, you guys just got the flavor of the National Hockey League back in Winnipeg. And then all of a sudden, it's gone again. So, you know, what's the move like up that affair? We got Drew Mandel from Illegal Curve Hockey to talk about that. And I'll go ahead and let you start, Drew. I mean, what is the feeling up there?
Well, I mean, the feeling is one of, you know, sort of people shake their head and say, I can't believe it got to this point that, you know, it's December, you know, 11th or whatever day it is today and there's no hockey. But, you know, it's not, the long ramifications of it aren't going to be significant here. They're just because the market is still too fresh, there's no animosity, people will, you know, the arena will be sold out for the first game, and it'll be sold out for every game this year or next year, whenever they start up again. There's just sort of this, like, sort of people just shrug their shoulders and say, get on with it, guys, you know, figure it out one way or the other. But, you know, long term, there's not going to be any significant ramifications in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, you lost your team once, now, like, you're not going to have that happen again. Like, everyone's going to just really rally around the team, support it, especially when it comes back. But how's stuff kind of going around the arena district? Like, how dismal is that right now?
Well, I mean, I'm sure, you know, businesses are struggling. They certainly enjoyed the extra revenue that they got when they had, you know, 41 home games last year and all the people that came in there. So, you know, in that sense, it's a little bit of a struggle. But, I mean, the arena here is, I think it's the sixth busiest arena in North America. I'm somewhere in that vicinity. So even though the Jets, you know, and before that the Manitoba Moose took up, you know, 41 dates a year, it's still a very busy district just because there's always concerts and events going through that arena. So it's being used, you know, I bet you 300 nights a year. So that's not it's not a ghost town, but it certainly would be better if the Jets were around.
A lot of Penguins fans are familiar with the area around Columbus, around Nationwide Arena, because it's a quick 3-hour drive to get there, and we saw the arena district that's been built around Nationwide Arena because there was lots of great planning by the city of Columbus and by the Blue Jackets that went into the preparation of that site when they came in as an expansion team. And the R Bar is the hockey bar in Columbus, and if you've never been there and you get a chance to go, you got to hit it up. So Mike Darr from Columbus is the owner of the R Bar. You know, you definitely have a unique perspective in that you know, how hard has this hit you guys down there?
Well, we're definitely seeing an impact, and it's not just home games; it's away games. We're known to show every game, so there's a game on every night. So usually we would have Pittsburgh fans, Windsor fans, Toronto fans come in and watch their teams. So we're definitely seeing that. But we've also done some creative marketing just to keep the hockey families together. We've done some simulated games with having live announcers. We had Bill Davidge and George Matthews, who was the radio guys. Bill's now on TV, but broadcast, I don't know the correct term, but a simulation game of EA Sports between whatever team was supposed to be playing that night. So Blue Jackets, Vancouver, Blue Jackets, Pittsburgh, whatever. Yeah, we did play Pittsburgh, actually. So that's created a little bit of hype. We're actually December 22nd. We've taken it to the next level, and we're grabbing other hockey bars across the country. First one is against Anchor Bar up in Detroit. If you guys ever been there, it's a great another dive hockey bar. And we're doing a versus game, 4-on-4 live game. We're going to Skype both bars live and have live announcing going on and all that. So, but on a daily basis, you definitely see the quietness in the area. And it's unfortunate because it is a great area.
Now, Mark, you down in Nashville, are there any hockey bars down there, or do bars show hockey games down there, or what does Nashville do on a hockey night?
Well, you know, the arena is like right downtown. It's in a really good location, so you walk out of the arena and you're right on Broadway where all the honky tonks and restaurants are and everything. So, I mean, there's not like a hockey bar, but there's just like a lot to do downtown right around the arena.
You just go to Tootsie's, basically. It's great music.
All right, so I guess we talk about lockout hope. You know, I guess is anyone completely sick of having any kind of hope or getting discouraged anyway, and just like, okay, when the lockout's over, it'll be over, and I'll be ready to go back to the NHL? Or are you looking forward to tomorrow's meetings and looking forward to getting news coming from that? We'll start with Giroux. Well, what are your lockout hopes?
Well, I mean, I have to fill 3 hours every week on radio up here, so I'm hoping the lockout ends tomorrow and we can start covering hockey. I'm not confident. I think that, you know, I still believe that I still hope for some reason that I think there will be hockey this year. I mean, looking at the first week of January, second week of January as being the actual drop dead date. So, I mean, if tomorrow's meeting isn't as positive, and, you know, I don't expect that it to be overwhelmingly positive, I'm not completely giving up hope. But, you know, I'm pretty sick and tired of talking, you know, CBA negotiations when, you know, at this time of year we'd be talking, you know, by now there'd be teams that are, you know, certainly playing better than we thought, and teams that are underachieving, and we probably would have seen a coach or two be fired, and, you know, there would have been a pretty good trade or two. So, you know, I'd much rather be talking about that, and it's only going to get more of a feeling of despair until this actually gets settled, if it gets settled.
Yeah, it's funny because you can kind of get sick of talking about some of the off-ice or non-hockey related talk like talking about free agency signings or trades or who's going where, you know, all that stuff that's not X's and O's, actually talking about hockey. And right now we kind of crave that. It's like, that's hockey. That's real. But, you know, we can't even talk about that because with no collective bargaining agreement, there are no contracts. There are no trades. There is no free agency or people to be signed, coaches to be fired. So, I mean, that's interesting. It kind of puts that in perspective that, you know, we're craving that a little bit now, too. And kind of a good question for you, Drew, is what is Gary Bettman's popularity rating in Winnipeg right now? Because I know for a while he got a little bit of a reprieve in Pittsburgh because of when the arena deal was reached and all that stuff. He got a little bit of praise and credit for helping and working to keep the Penguins in Pittsburgh and wanting to preserve the franchise, or at least saying the right things at that time. Now, now with the team just coming back to Winnipeg, does that save him in any way from some of the criticism that he's getting across the other 29 markets?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, last year when the Jets finally returned, and I mean, there was, Gary Bettman. I mean, Gary Bettman, who had been, enemy number one in Winnipeg for, 15 years, got, a pretty good, pretty rousing ovation when he was in Winnipeg last year for the first game. To be honest, I think that most fans obviously don't have any love lost for either side, but most fans are more upset with the players than they are with owners. And, it could just be the people I'm talking to, but, I think it's pretty, people see that pretty handily, that, they're falling on the side of the owners right now as opposed to the players. I just think that I don't know what it is, if it's the arrogance of Donald Fehr or the fact that he doesn't, people's perception is that he's not interested in really negotiating to get a deal done. But people that I talk to are a lot more fed up with the players, the Players Association, than they are with Gary Bettman and ownership here. I mean, the owner here, Mark Chipman, can't do anything wrong. So, I mean, he's absolved of all blame, and then he comes into the meetings last week, and he's referred to as a moderate who just wants hockey back on the ice. Well, he can't do anything wrong because he brought hockey back to Winnipeg finally. And, people are sort of tying Gary Bettman a little bit to him, whereas the players and the Players Association is getting a lot of the blame from people in Winnipeg.
It's funny because it almost seems a little bit like a four-horse race, because you got Gary Bettman, you got Donald Fehr, and then you have the players and you have the owners. And then, from the reactions that I can gather, there's kind of, everyone's kind of compartmentalized between those four things. The absolute, hatred for Gary Bettman. They're angry with Donald Fehr, but the owners and the players, most owners of, certain people from Boston might be absolved from that, but the owners and players are kind of separated from that as well. They've kind of seem to have steered away from that kind of criticism, at least from what I've seen. What does it look like in Nashville?
I think if I'm representing the Nashville fan base, I think the diehard fans kind of have been following the same mindset that the rest of the hockey fans are, like, just kind of getting lockout fatigue. They're at first, you kind of pick sides and all this stuff, and then you're just like, okay, I'm sick of hearing about the lockout. Just tell me when it's over, And then, like you were alluding to earlier in the show, there was, some hope last week, and people were getting fired up again and ready to go, and then it all kind of crashed and burned, and then the fatigue just set in again. But then I think there's, in Nashville you have the diehards, but then there's the fringe fans that really really keep the team going because they're the ones that are coming in and out buying tickets and all this stuff. And I think they've just kind of totally tuned out from it. They'll read the little blurb in the paper or whatever about, oh, the lockout's still going on, but they just haven't even thought about hockey. So all those fans that they had drawn in the last couple of years are now just really not even paying attention to the Predators anymore.
Yeah, well, all of the traditional bases and more traditional bases have seemingly had a lot of, alternatives for hockey and stuff like that, like Winnipeg, obviously Canada. There's got to be some kind of hockey going on up there right now. Even as kind of jokingly say this, because it's not really a traditional market, but it's got so much potential, but Columbus has a lot of potential, and they have Ohio State, which is an up-and-coming and just a pretty good program out there. They've got that as an alternative. Pittsburgh has Wheeling and RMU and teams like that. Wilkes-Barre also to follow. But Nashville is not really the traditional market. What's really going on down there for fans to get their hockey fix?
Well, that's a good question. There's a smaller team in Knoxville. I'm not sure. I think it's ECHL. There's NCAA hockey in Huntsville, which is just about an hour and a half, 2 hours south of Nashville. But other than that, besides like, you know, some smaller high school leagues and things like that, there's not much hockey really going on. So if fans want to, you know, if fans want to get that feeling of hockey again, they have to, you know, watch old reruns on NHL Network or find, you know, it's really tough to find hockey in Tennessee, like you were saying, because there's just not a lot in Nashville outside of, you know, some small, like, beer leagues and things like that.
Now, I'm pretty sure there's some hockey going on up in Winnipeg, especially right now.
Yeah, there is.
The World Junior Championships, while they're not in Winnipeg right now, and then in the red white game is not going on. But you see, I mean, that's a full house, you know, just the scrimmage between those two teams. I mean, that's going to be huge, and that's going to be big for all hockey fans. And this might be good for hockey fans if they have not experienced that tournament before, that you know, focus all their eyes on that World Junior tournament toward the end of December. And if we get good news about this lockout thing, that's a perfect way to get for the NHL to get people buzzed about the sport again coming out of it. Columbus, what kind of junior leagues, what kind of other hockey is there going on in that town?
Columbus obviously has OSU hockey, which now they're in the Big Ten hockey tournament. We have 15 high schools, I believe. So we're not lucky to have the juniors. Right outside Columbus, we have Cincinnati Cyclones, which is ECHL, and Toledo, and we have AHL up in Cleveland. So we have plenty to run around and watch. But I think a lot of it is like Evan, I believe his name is, Nashville. I should have it up. But, no, I'm way off. Mark said that your casual fans are going to go. They went somewhere else. They're off watching OSU basketball right now, or just not leaving the house. And it's a real shame. We're already struggling enough to put a competitive team on the ice. We lost our franchise player. There's a lot of angry fans out there. And then all this happens. And I think a lot of fans just don't understand the reasoning behind it. Both sides have their points, and I'm hearing both sides. A lot of fans are talking that they're on the player's side. Some say they're on the owner's. I'm kind of right down the middle anymore, but I think the big feeling with everybody is that they're just tired of it. When the podium gets more excitement than the actual CBA, you know where everyone stands.
They don't even care.
Yeah,
anymore. Exactly. That's where we've lost any bit of lucidness about our souls. Just souls. It's that sad. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
How's the rest of the arena district doing? Have you spoken with any of the other businesses?
I actually own two businesses down here, and then we're actually in a marketing team together. So everyone down here is definitely seeing the impact. There's 5,000-6,000 residents that live within a quarter mile of the place, and really just no one's going out. Most of these people have season tickets or some type of season ticket package. And they would get in the cycle of, oh, there's a game tonight, let's go down to the game, get in that cycle. And then on off nights, they would just go out because they're already going out all the time. And now they're just staying at home, we're noticing. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
All right. So, first of all, thank you, Drew, Mark, and Mike, for coming on the show and talking to us about this. It definitely gives us some good perspective I have one final question, and it comes back to the fans again, because obviously the NHLPA has their certain amount of leverage, which is very little. The NHL has seems like an infinite amount of leverage in these talks. And now you're starting to see fans get more and more angry, starting to revolt, starting to create, you know, these groups or anything, or people wanting to protest, you know, saying that they're going to boycott the league whenever it comes back and those sorts of things. When in reality, what kind of power, what kind of voice do the fans have in this whole thing? Let's start with you, Drew.
Well, I mean, you know, technically the fans hold a hammer, because the NHL is still a gate-driven league primarily. So if all the fans, you know, boycotted, as you hear about these calls for fans to boycott, you know, would it have an impact on the bottom line? Of course it would. Is it realistic? It's not, especially here in Winnipeg, where, you know, just if you wanted to become a season ticket holder, you have to make a minimum of a 3-year commitment. That was for the cheapest seats in the arena. For the nice seats, there was, the better seats, it was a minimum of a 4 or 5 year commitment. So I mean, people have already they're already on the hook for the tickets. So I mean, a fan boycott just isn't a realistic option here in Winnipeg. There's anger. Yeah, is that anger, palpable, or is it going to make a significant impact? I doubt it. People are still, Christmas is 2 weeks from now. People are still going to buy their Jets gear left, right, and center. They're still going to buy all their merchandise. Within a week of the NHL coming back, will people have forgotten about this whole lockout? I suspect they will.
And then, Mark, go ahead and what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think, the fans do have the ultimate power, because they're the ones with the money, but right when this whole thing comes back, they're just going to, come right into the arena, start buying more jerseys, start buying more beer, start buying, tickets and everything else that they were doing right before the league, so right before the lockout. So I'm not sure the fans are going to just, just stop coming back at all. But, if you're looking at Nashville, I think it's going to be a slower road back to where they had been before the lockout, because the last 2 years, they had really built up a lot of momentum with their fans, and they were selling out. I think they set the record for sellouts last year and all this stuff. So when the lockout does come back, it's going to take a while to build that fan support back in Nashville.
And then Mike is sitting up there in Columbus, the owner of a bar right next to the arena. You got to be hoping like hell that, that all the fans come back in droves, and that they do want to spend money and buy beer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hope they come back, but just don't go into the arena and just stay in the bars. But
there you go. We can lead that boycott for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's one of those situations. I think Columbus is in a little tougher spot because of the history that we've had over the last 5 years with losing a top coach with Hitchcock, and just making some of the asinine moves we've made over the years. And but Columbus is also a fair weather team. Like if we're winning, we'll come out in droves. We won't support something that's not winning. And even if you love hockey, it's just our way of boycotting. So I know they say their ticket sales are going up, but when you walk in that arena, they're definitely not where they used to be from the first 4 years when we were sold out all the time. But hopefully with maybe a short season and all that, we'll come out a little stronger and actually put a little product on the ice. And I think if we do that, people will come out and watch us.
All right. Well, I have to thank our guests, Drew Mandel from Legal Curve, Mike Darr from the R-Bar, and Mark Torrance from On the Forecheck. Thanks a lot for coming out, and let's hope that the next time we might get a chance to talk, we'll be talking about hockey and not all this business bullshit.
Thanks.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right. What do you guys think? I got to ask about your type of optimism going into tomorrow's meetings. Is there any hope, or are you just fed up? Are you not even tapping into that business?
We fell into this trap too many times already, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like playing the freaking Devils. Shut down every time.
Trap.
I believe there's a season going on when the puck is actually dropped. I won't even believe it when the games are announced and like it's scheduled and it's made official that the lockout is over. Until I'm actually seeing it happen on TV or live, I'm not even going to believe it.
Yeah, it's the type of thing where you're all ready for puck drop, and then the buzzer sounds, and the referee skates over to the scorer's table, and all of a sudden he announces that the collective bargaining agreement is under review. And you have to go back to Toronto into the war room, and you got owners and players in there, and you got six players standing on the ice staring at each other like, what the hell is going on? It's pretty much like the press conference last week.
It's kind of fool me once, shame on me, or, you know, like whatever that whole thing is. Like, fool me 10 times, and, might as well just...
Fool me 10 times?
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Feels like 10 times.
Yeah. So... Right. Do we have another guest or something going on?
We do, and this is – I'm going to have to do something that I've never tried on this show before. We actually have to try an outgoing phone call to make this happen. So, Joe, Defto, you have an opinion about something, right?
No, I think you left for the moment.
Oh, this is the Joe Defto bathroom break hour.
Yeah.
Hour. Yeah.
It'll take him about that long. Andy, what have you been keeping yourself busy with now that the hockey, or at least at the NHL level, is not something that is available to us?
Well, I've certainly been busy with school, obviously, but I've been getting my hockey fix. I'm still announcing Peters Township hockey games. I've done some Cal U hockey games as well, so I've been seeing some college hockey, some high school hockey. Made it to a couple Wheeling Nailers games. Was there this past Friday. So, I mean, I've been still seeing a lot of hockey, but I do want to see NHL hockey back for sure.
Yeah, it's a different breed and different animal. And we've all hit up a few Nailers games,
yes.
And they're fun. They're fun, but You know, in Defto, I know you had a really good analogy about the whole thing. Do you remember what that was?
Well, there we go. I don't. You're gonna have to refresh my memory.
It had to do with food, some kind of like really good food and some kind of like mid-range food.
Well,
just make it up. Like the car.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different analogies. It would be like, you know, like you want to buy a car and you have the budget to buy an Aston Martin, so you buy the Aston Martin. It gets pulled in your driveway. You wake up the next day and there's a Ford Pinto there, and
or
that's all you did.
It's a lot like the NHL, like Bruce Springsteen, and watching college hockey is a lot like watching Nickelback.
Oh,
No, it's not that bad. Jeez. College hockey, would be like the NHL, would be like Nickelback.
Okay, I'm going to try this out.
Then what is the ECHL?
We're trying this. Let me see.
Here we go.
I don't know if we're going to get a dial tone or anything.
So who are we calling right now? We're calling...
This is Josh. He's the founder of the NHLFA. And Josh, you on the line with us?
Yep.
Hey, great. Cool. Now, Josh, for those of you who don't know, if you follow _... NHLFA. And what is the NHLFA? What does that stand for? Obviously, but go ahead.
National Hockey League Fans Army.
Okay, cool. So it's something that, you know, we have the NHL and the NHLPA. This is the fans' chance to be heard. And you started this up, and you're up to like 9,000 followers on Twitter. About how long ago did you start this site?
I started a couple of months ago. I started it exactly, I think, September 4th.
Okay.
It all started off by...
Just before the lockout.
Pardon?
So
yeah.
Just before the lockout.
Yeah, I started a little bit before. I got inspired from my favorite blogger. It's on Hockey Buzz. He started his own page about trying to book the lockout. lockout, and I thought I should try it too and try and make a difference, and it's been going great so far.
Okay. Now, tell us, the fans, just a little bit. What can fans do? What are you encouraging fans to do across the league that is actually going to have their voice be heard and have the NHL pay attention? Because as it seems right now, they just don't care. You know, the players or the owners just have no regard for what the fans want.
Yeah, mainly so far what we've been trying to get doing is the boycott, but as I heard earlier on the show, it might not always work in places like Winnipeg and stuff like that, but you'd actually be surprised by the amount of people who are willing to boycott. There's tens and hundreds of thousands of people who have been, I've heard, calling into NHL and NHLPA offices. I'm not sure if you've seen, but there was a couple meetings that they almost felt forced to start because of how much trouble they're getting in from the fans, how much they're angering the fans. It, even just by the amount of fans saying that they're going to boycott, even if you don't live up to that, well, of course, which we hope you do, but even if you just tell them you're fed up with this and you're willing to leave if this goes on too long, boycotting is mainly the biggest thing that fans can do. And, you know, I know all fans can't do that, especially in markets like Winnipeg where they just got hockey back. But the best thing a hockey fan can do is boycott.
How frustrated are you? I know you're kind of in a situation in Edmonton that we were in Pittsburgh about 6-7 years ago where, you know, we had just drafted, you know, Evgeny Malkin, Ryan Whitney, who is you're well aware of now, Marc-Andre Fleury, Jordan Staal, well, not Jordan Staal yet, but lots of these good young players, and things were really turning around, and we're kind of coming into the end of the dark years that was the early 2000s, and now there you are sitting with, you know, guys like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, now Yakupov, all these guys, this young talent has been drafted in. They're not on the ice because of this lockout. So how frustrating is that for you as an Edmonton Oilers fan? I'm assuming you're an Oilers fan. I saw you with the shirt in the video.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. Like, you want to see that young talent getting out there and seeing them be able to play. One, if anything, Edmonton is one city that does sort of benefit from the lockout in the fact that the players get to develop a bit more. Yakupov going to the KHL, but it really sucks. I'd just love to see any team out there, any team playing, not just the Oilers. But yeah, it really sucks, especially now that I'm one person who will be living up to the boycott. When the NHL finally does come back, it's going to suck that I won't be able to watch them play because of the boycott, but it will be worth it so we can just get out our voice, and hopefully this won't happen again.
You play hockey, right?
Yeah.
What position?
Goaltender.
Ah, cool. Who is who's your favorite player?
Probably be. Well, he's getting kind of old now, but it'd be Broder.
Broder.
Broder or Dubnyk for the Oilers.
Cool. Well, very good, man. What advice? I'll leave you with this. So what advice do you have for hockey fans as you leave the show?
Mostly, first, of course, like I said, boycott if you can. But I've also seen quite a few people saying they've been wanting to give up NHL for good.
Mm-hmm.
That I just want people stay faithful to the NHL after the boycott. Don't leave. Be a true fan by boycotting, but don't leave. Hockey's the best sport in the world, and we don't want to lose that. We don't want it to be a huge war going on. We just want to get our voices heard. And the whole reason we're doing this boycott is to get the NHL back, is to get us a voice. So this won't happen again.
So, Josh, like, how much do you miss Don Cherry right now?
Pardon?
How much do you miss Don Cherry?
Oh, so much. Watch him every time he's on. If I miss him, he'll be on YouTube or whatever, catching him.
Yeah?
Best man in hockey.
He's still ranting. He's still
he's a good Canadian boy.
He's actually Don Cherry of all people has found a voice on Twitter, which is hilarious to me. You guys remember his meltdown on Jeff Merrick a couple years ago for reading tweets on the air and how stupid Twitter is, and then basically insulting the fans after that. But yeah, you gotta miss stuff like that because there's no fresh Don Cherry material to work on.
Yeah.
We just have we have YouTube for at least there's four decades worth of Don Cherry we can get from YouTube. But Josh, I gotta say, it's great to hear your voice. It's great to hear passionate about it, and it's great to hear from younger fans who have that type of passion. And I think it's good for the NHL to see that because this is the future, and they're the ones that they want to keep in their on their side. And luckily, you're an ally of the game, and you've clearly made it a point that this is about the process. This isn't about being mad at hockey. This is about being mad at the process, being mad at the people who are managing the process, and not taking it out on people who have already been punished enough. Josh, it's been great having you on the show, and hopefully we don't have this to talk about or worry about too much longer, and we can get back to playing some games.
Hopefully. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, sir.
Thanks, John.
Josh. Actually, I forgot to ask him how to pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to try to butcher it now that he's gone. So it's good to hear from people all across the league, Columbus, Nashville, and Winnipeg, and then getting a little bit from Edmonton and getting a little bit of a different generation in that idea there too. So what's next if hockey does not return for us fellas?
Good question.
That's tough. I don't.
Passion Nation.
Maybe.
I mean, I feel like we can only take so many Nailers games before we start getting serious trouble with the law.
Andy and I read a couple this past week, and some really great quotes we've had. Just interviewing a few of the players, got a chance to talk with Carl Smith, and the Nailers have been kind of on a little bit of a slide recently, and a lot of these guys are taking it really hard, and I think just talking with Sneeper right after that, their last game, they were up 4-1 in the third and ended up losing the game in a shootout, and just quotes like, I feel like I got kicked in the teeth, and stuff like that. These guys are wearing their hearts on their sleeves right now, and right now, I mean, the hockey is good, but they're just not getting it, so there's some frustration there. They're kind of right on that tipping point. So I can kind of hold out a little bit with that. I mean, kind of at least entertaining hockey, and you see the guys trying as hard as they are. It's not like they've packed up and given up on the season yet. If that were the case, then I'd be looking for the next bridge, I think.
One thing that I will give two different television networks credit for, specifically NBC Sports and the NHL Network, is that the NHL Network has shown at least a few junior games, and NBC, they're pretty much showing college games on a regular basis on Friday nights, I think now. And some of them have been pretty good. Like, they televised the Boston College, Boston University game. That was pretty fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been more attention to college hockey, some junior games getting up there. And something that's kind of cool is there's a pretty good prospect in the OHL right now that's getting some attention at that junior level that he might not he's obviously going to get some attention, but maybe not as much as he is right now because he basically has the attention of the hockey world with no NHL hockey going on.
Yeah, you're talking Connor McDavid, right?
That's what we're talking about.
McKinnon.
I wanted you to clarify before I commented off.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, there are a couple. Like, the guy being drafted probably number one overall is McKinnon, right? I think we could all agree on that right now. And then next year would be Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
So McDavid's got another year before he could be drafted, but Erie right now has got probably the best young player in the entire game. that's not in professional hockey right now. So if you get a chance, definitely go up and check that out.
Looks like he's just about to sign a deal with Reebok.
I was just about to comment on this. Yeah, that Reebok CCM just signed him to a, according to TSN, it would be the most significant hockey signing for the company since 17-year-old Sidney Crosby joined them in 2005. So they're probably going to be throwing some pretty substantial cash at that kid.
Yeah, it's head toe too. It's not just we're not talking helmet, gloves, and or just a stick or anything like that. It is
like the jock and all that.
Oh yeah, he's actually going to inherit Crosby's jock.
Don't let him do that.
That's too lucky.
20 years old.
Sid has a copyright on that jock.
He's been wearing that jock since before you know he had to wear it.
Sid actually commented about McDavid, like he was impressed. I mean, McDavid's got to be pretty thrilled with that.
Oh, absolutely.
He's not a bad player.
Nah.
I mean, I haven't seen him play in a while.
Yeah, sure.
He might suck.
Well, maybe next show we can have a lockout reminiscing show and talk about our favorite highlight of the lockout. But I don't think
well, that's tomorrow.
There are no highlights.
When it ends, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't share my favorite highlight because it'll just embarrass Ken.
Does it have anything to do with the lockout, or does it have to do with certain UCHL team?
Well, I mean, that's directly because of the lockout.
Yeah.
So facto.
I'm gonna miss my Twitter feed being flooded by Alan Walsh with propaganda every 15 minutes.
Straight up blocked him.
And then him and James Myrtle fighting about it, from Yahoo.
Roenick and Walsh, also that happened this past weekend.
I couldn't see any of that because Roenick has blocked me because I said something about him one time and he searches his name, like some other Pittsburgh.
Well, apparently I'm blocked too, and I've never said anything about him.
Yeah, I think I am too, actually. I've never said anything.
Either that or he just hates the fans' nation.
I'm pretty sure that might have something to do with it.
He seems to have an issue with Penguins fans in general. He just can't stand the team.
Cool. So we just got a message from somebody asked us to call the NHL corporate. No, I'm.
I don't think that's pretty.
I don't even know that's the right number.
I don't know either. I kind of hope it's not, and I want to see what kind of
like Mad Chad number or something.
Can Mad Chad even receive phone numbers, phone calls right now?
I don't know. I don't even know if the dude's alive.
Probably not.
Who knows?
Well, all right, gentlemen. I think these are the times that we all struggle with. We don't dream for these days. We don't hope for these situations. But the fact is, in life, they're inevitable. And the responsibility that each and every one of us has as hockey fans, as
Penguins,
and as humans, is to...
He's a clown!
Take sour cream and make a milkshake of it.
Clown! Clown! He's a clown!
You better make that good milkshake. And that's exactly what we intend to do here. That's exactly what all hockey fans have tried to do, whether it be the NHL podium, whether it be laughing about ridiculous press conferences held in New York City. We are one. Because we are all.